This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to Live and Learn on the Bigger Picture with me, Lim Soo Ann. Last week, 23-year-old tennis player Naomi Osaka withdrew from the French Open after being fined and threatened with expulsion from the tournament organizers for when she refused to attend post-match press conferences, and she made that decision to protect her mental health. And in fact, she revealed that she has suffered from long bouts of depression and found it anxiety-inducing to speak to the media. And while she received widespread support from fellow athletes, from her fans, she was also criticized for not being able to handle the pressure, and that, you know, she was told that speaking to the media is part of her job. But that raises the question, right? Why are people still unable to put themselves and their mental health before their professional priorities without judgment? And, you know, how can we do better to support not just public figures, but the people around us when they speak up about their mental health, especially at work? So joining me to discuss today's topic is Yvonne Fu, a clinical psychologist and a senior lecturer at the psychology department at a local private university. How are you today, Yvonne?
I'm doing fine, Sue Ann. Thank you for asking. How are you?
I'm doing great as well. You know, as great as we can be during this third lockdown.
Agree.
So I guess to get to our topic, right, for someone like Naomi Osaka, who is a well-known public figure, to come out and say that she's putting her mental health before her career first, you know, why is this still important today? And the fact that her decision was so widely talked about, you know, what does it tell us about conversations surrounding mental health?
Yeah, I think it's a good question, because I do think that that kind of decision is especially important now, because we are just seeing more and more mental health issues, the rise of depression around the world. It is, in fact, right now, depression is one of the leading causes of disability, along with some other mental health issues. And we know that suicide is the second leading cause of death among 15 to 29 year olds nowadays. So, you know, coupled with this COVID-19, the lockdown, the pandemic, we really do see a rise in mental health issues in different populations. Even at workplace as well, actually, in the past few years, people are paying more and more attention to how mental health is affecting employees. Mm-hmm. Either their work efficiency or effectiveness at the workplace. And it actually is costing the employers, I think, money to sometimes address this issue, especially if it's addressing this at a very much later stage. So to take care of employees' mental health right now, actually, I think is more important than ever.
Mm. You know, I feel like some people would be quite familiar with the criticisms that Naomi Osaka got, right? That she should have been able to cope with the pressures or responsibilities that come with her career choice, regardless of mental health. You know, I think it's not uncommon to hear people sharing stories that, you know, or they were told they should be able to do their job regardless of their mental health status. But why is there still that argument of, you know, career versus mental health? You know, is it necessarily choosing one over the other?
Well, I think a lot of job really requires, it does actually have a lot of, let's say in Naomi Osaka's case, mm-hmm. when she got into this career, she probably knew that it's going to be stressful. It's going to be a lot of pressure on her. But how a person cope with this situation, it could change depending on a lot of factors, a lot of environmental factors as well. And we might be okay to cope with some of these stresses in the beginning, but as it accumulates, as the pressure builds up, sometimes we really don't have the capacity to keep going on like this. And so to say that you should know already this job is stressful from the beginning, I think it's also not really fair, because situation changes and there's a lot of different contexts that we need to consider as well when we think about how a person might cope in different stages of their work. So I think Naomi at this point of her career is definitely very different from how when she first started as well in her career.
Mm. Do you think that age also factors in, you know, I mean, sort of, are we seeing younger people being more open about how work affects their mental health compared to perhaps the older population?
Oh, I think that a lot of young people nowadays are quite well informed about different issues of mental health issues. They're more aware of it right now. They're more verbal about it, which is really good. So I think, yes, there's probably a trend that older people, they might still sometimes feel that, well, if I were to speak out about this, would I be perceived as this and that? And there's some stigma about mental health that sometimes the older generations, they still have. They sometimes feel ashamed of speaking up about it. Whereas I do see a lot of more, the younger generations, students, they are quite open to talk about it right now. And I think the fact that Naomi Osaka is talking openly about it also is so quite encouraging for a lot of people.
Mm. Do you find that conversations about mental health and work tend to focus on how people's mental health issues affect their work, affect their ability to work, rather than how work affects their mental health? You know, I guess, does it matter which way we look at it?
Well, that's a very good, you know, starting point to think, because there's really no, let's say, one cause of mental health issues, right? We can't say that, oh, because your work is such and therefore your mental health is like that, because mm-hmm. it's always a combination of a number of things, like stresses at work or stresses in a person's personal life, the person's own experiences in the past as well, the temperament, the way of coping with situations. So all these things would contribute to how a person might function, might be able to cope in different situations. So rather than saying that what causes another, I would say that it's really important to look at the different reasons and factors in a person's life and say, well, the fact is this person's mental health probably is needing a bit of more attention and we need to take care of it right now. So it's really hard to say which causes which. But I do think that there is this misconception maybe, mm-hmm. Or maybe not so, well, probably as perception that if you have a mental health issue, that kind of defines your capability and your competency as well. So people will see people with mental health issues as not being like strong enough or not being competent. And once sometimes when people have mental health issues, they'll be seen as not being able to work anymore, which mm-hmm. I think is a huge stigma for people to speak up about it.
Mm. And I guess, does that view also affect how, you know, affect people who are already reluctant to speak up about their mental health issues to not want to talk about it even more, especially in a professional setting?
Definitely. I do still see that at a lot of workplace, people would feel very judged when they speak up about the mental health issues. They feel that means that I'm weak. That means that I can't handle stress, because somehow we still think that mental health issues is just people not being able to handle stress.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really more than that. Mental health issues is not just I can't cope with things. Yeah, that's just one small aspect of it. That's a huge aspect of mental health issues, anxiety and depression aside, OCD, schizophrenia. All these are mental health issues that we just sometimes overlook, and we think that it's just a person not being able to handle things. So that does make a lot of people feel very reluctant to speak up, because I think to some extent, it also depends on how the employers convey the message as well.
Mm.
So whether or not people would feel, if I were to speak up, I can actually have a conversation about this rather than just being perceived in a certain ways or just judged without even having a chance to talk about it.
It's ensuring that your workplace is a conducive and safe space for your employees to speak up about their mental health, right? It's not just, you know, having that procedures on paper, but making sure that the actual environment, the reality is people feel comfortable to come and talk to their employers about it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think nowadays there are some employers who are very supportive. They have, for example, subsidized their employees to get mental health professionals help, psychiatrists, psychologists. So I think people are really starting to see the necessity of this.
We've talked a lot about normalizing conversations about mental health, but I guess to look at the flip side, right? Is it also okay if people choose to not talk about their mental health issues, and not because that they find it uncomfortable, but just because they don't think it's necessary to do so? I guess, is that okay as well?
I think absolutely, because it's your privacy. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, if I have diabetes and I choose not to talk about it, that's really up to me. Especially if you think that not talking about it, it doesn't necessarily affect your work and you find that it's okay to cope with it on your own, I think that's really the person's choice. And it's okay to let the person have that privacy to keep this to themselves. So I think it's probably, if let's say speaking up and talking about it with your employer or your colleagues would in some ways be helpful for you in coping with your work, then I think in those situations, maybe it would be necessary to speak up.
Mm. You know, something I found quite interesting is how people pointed out that in Naomi's case, you know, there were several factors that sort of made the backlash against her worse. The first one being that she was a woman, and then also people pointing out that she was both Black and Asian. I guess, do you see these sort of other factors also affecting how people speak up about their mental health in the Malaysian context? You know, is it important to look at how there are different factors that might make it more difficult for people to speak up about their mental health?
I think that's a very good point, because from the cultural or religion point of view as well, I think we have certain perception about some of these aspects. Some of the people that I talk to, they would have this perception that men don't cry. I think some of them still have this perception here. And so when a man were to break down at work, or they feel overwhelmed, sometimes they will be seen as being less of a man. Or if a woman were to cry, sometimes they will be seen as being so dramatic and attention seeking. So this kind of label that get attached to different gender, or sometimes from a certain cultural point of view, when they have like certain issues or struggles, they might attribute it to some supernatural kind of aspect as well.
Mm-hmm.
So people sometimes feel like if I were to speak up, then I will be labeled as this, like, you know, weak, dramatic, maybe not this enough, not that enough, which really doesn't help. So knowing what kind of maybe stigma that's attached to different culture aspects of it, I think that might help us to address the issue from that culture point of view.
Mm. All right, let's go for a very quick break. I'm speaking to clinical psychologist Yvonne Fu, and we are talking about how to prioritize our mental health in workplaces and professional settings. And this was coming off, you know, the news that Naomi Osaka chose to withdraw from a tournament to put her mental health first before her career. We'll be right back after a few messages. You're listening to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Welcome back to Live and Learn with me, Lim Soo Ann. I'm speaking today to Yvonne Fu, clinical psychologist, about the importance of prioritizing our mental health, including in a professional setting. And this is coming off the news of 23-year-old tennis player Naomi Osaka choosing to withdraw from the French Open tournament to put her mental health first, after revealing that she has also been suffering from mental health issues and anxiety from speaking to the media. Now, we spoke about why it's important to have these conversations, Yvonne, but aside from stigma, aside from the, you know, creating a more conducive office environment or workplace environment for people to talk about their mental health, I guess, have you seen much changes or progress in Malaysia, especially when it comes to employers putting more emphasis on mental health? Because I think a lot of times when we look at wellness programs offered by employers, right, it's a lot of it is focused on physical health.
Yeah. Well, just on the social media alone, I can see that there are more reportings about how employers or companies should put more emphasis on mental health of employees and the cost of not paying attention to it, because you know the turnover rate, the fact that when the mental health is not being taken care of, the neglect at work and all those things could actually cost more. So I do think that people are getting more awareness that taking care of the employees is actually very important. It's a way of taking care of the companies as well. I do see that a lot of companies right now are investing in different, like you say, wellness program for employees. They have EAP program, for example, employees assistance program, where they will allow the employees to go and seek counseling or psychotherapy or with their designated psychological center. I also see that they are having more like wellness program for the employees right now, for example, letting them have their break time, some sort of interest group so that they can have their own time to or space to take care of their own well-being as well. So I do see an increase in these kind of movements these days, but maybe in this past 2 years it's been a bit more difficult to do that because of COVID-19, and it seems like there are more things to take care of. But at the same time, I also see some companies doing very well in taking care of their employees, especially during COVID-19 time as well, knowing that this is a time that's especially difficult for a lot of people due to the uncertainty is around.
And I guess speaking of COVID-19, you know, we are in the midst of our third nationwide lockdown. There's still 1 week to go. We don't know if it's if it will be extended or not. I guess, are you concerned? What sort of mental health issues are you concerned might be further exacerbated or might emerge among people during this lockdown, right? Especially with a lot of people sort of going back to work from home as well.
Yeah. And it's interesting that you asked this, Suan, because we are like one year plus into this pandemic right now. I think our first lockdown was in March last year.
That's right.
And I have just been talking to some students and some other people lately, and I think somehow we had this perception that, oh, it's now the new normal, you know, we are all working from home and we are getting used to this. But I think on the contrary, more than ever right now, we should pay more attention to the mental health issues because of the prolonged feeling of uncertainty, the chronic feeling of when is this ever going to end? Not to mention the uncertainties and the financial uncertainties that a lot of people are facing right now. Because in this lockdown, I think they're projecting a lot of people in the middle 40% and lower 40% group might have a lot of issues. So situations like, you know, depression, anxieties, we can kind of sense that people are having more of these feelings arising nowadays. Whether or not it's really like a disorder, I think it's the fact that people are getting more anxious and worried these days in this chronic form, and we don't realize that sometimes we are going through this because it feels like it's already been so long. But what I hear from some people around is that they do feel this sense of dread and worry and anxiety that's creeping in and day in, day out. Also, there's been a number of reports about the rise of suicide cases, suicide attempts as well, I think, around the country. So this is something that's quite worrying.
Yeah, I remember, you know, a couple of my colleagues also brought that up. And it's worrying because there's so much connection between our mental health and all our other aspects of life that are being affected right now, right? And you mentioned, you know, that feeling of chronic anxiety, chronic worry. And I think that's something that we've all been experiencing since March last year. And it's sort of become normal for us to feel that way, even though it shouldn't be.
Yeah, and because we feel like, oh, maybe this is normal right now, sometimes there are two things. I think one thing is that we ourselves feel like there's nothing much we could do about it, and we sometimes just suffer in silence. And the other thing is we also forget to check in with people around us because we feel, you know, this is already 1 year in, we should probably get used to it right now. And initially, maybe when it first started, we were more keen to check in each other. But 1 year down the road, we probably feel like, you know, it's normal right now. So that lack of, you know, checking in, conversation about it sometimes makes us feel even more isolated in our own suffering.
Hmm. So what can, I guess, employers do to keep a better eye on their staff, right? Or what can they do to be more supportive or to check in with their employees about their mental health?
I think there are various ways. For example, I've heard of companies who are promoting that the staff could check in with their in-house psychologists if they have, or their psychological centers that they are engaged with, to have a conversations with mental health practitioners when needed. I know there are companies who are so on and off sending in some messages or care packages just to show the employees that, hey, you know what, we are here. We know that this is not easy, but we care for you. But also, I think because of this whole uncertainty with the situations, one thing that the employer sometimes can do is to provide a sense of security for the employees as well, to say that, to let the employees know, you know, what are our plans, what are the things that we are doing, you know, what is the company's situation right now, so that the employees would not feel that they are in the dark in this whole situation. I think there are things that the employers can do in a practical, concrete sense that make the employees feel at least a tiny bit of certainty in these uncertainties.
Yes. I guess to continue on that, what if, you know, let's say the company perhaps isn't doing so well, you know, should that also be shared with employees if the employer is worried that, you know, that might actually make them feel less secure?
Well, that's a good question, because we really try to, like I say, we try to have the employees feeling a bit more certain. And if you share so much, you know, would that make them feel even worse? Mm. But I've read some articles that a lot of companies in this time, they try to increase the communication with the employees, not just in a sugarcoating way, but also in a way where they will discuss or inform the employees of their decisions, if there's any, so that there is a realistic check-in from both sides. So not to say that we have to tell them, let's say, oh, you know, our financial sheets right now, it's in red and we are in dire situations, but you give them a realistic picture, and also maybe let them know what we can do kind of to help us to get through these situations as well. So it's not from a stance of we are all doomed, but yeah, we might be going through some struggles right now, but what can we do together? I think that kind of communication is important, because otherwise the employees, without information, we actually try to fill in the blanks with our own assumptions, and we can actually, you know, nowadays with social media and everything, we can always hear things here and there leaking out. So we can make assumptions, and we can actually even catastrophize things in our mind, you know, what might be happening because of the uncertainties. It's quite human to try and think of the worst case scenario to prepare ourselves. So I think having that kind of clear line of communication would actually help the employees to know, to have, like I say, some sort of certainties as well.
Mm. Yeah, I think thinking of worst case scenarios tend to be our go-to. And, you know, on that, I guess what I'm getting from you is the importance to build that sense of trust between employer and employees, right? That I'm going to be frank with you about what's happening, but, you know, we are trying to pull through this together.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, I respect the fact that, you know, employers, they always have their own decisions, their own policies. Of course, there are certain things they can say, they cannot say. That's definitely understandable. Mm-hmm. But I guess, you know, managements, and I've seen some companies, I think they're trying to manage that balance between just totally being closed off and not giving any information, and being a bit more transparent, and being in a more collaborative relationship with employees.
What are your thoughts on duvet days or mental health days? You know, I guess that seems to be on the rise these days, but of course not every company is open to it. But are those helpful, you think, for employees to say that, okay, I need to put my mental health before work?
Well, I think this is something that the employers and employees, they need to come to a certain understanding as well, because when you say that mental health day, meaning that they can take it like an MC, where let's say I don't feel very, very well, I can actually take time off. I know that this has been done from what I heard from my friends in the States over there. They can actually do that, and you know, just call in and say, today I don't feel very well and I'm calling in for an MC or things like that. And I think the understanding between the employers and employees that the trust is important, that they know that these are the things which needs to be addressed, because mental health issue is as real as any other physical physical disease or illness as well. And for the employers to kind of have the understanding that having this option does not, you know, mean that it's going to encourage the employees to make use of this, but that is actually encouraging the employees to take care of themselves so that they can be more efficient and at work. I think that kind of understanding needs to be there.
So from the individual level then, you know, how would I know, for example, how would I know if I need a mental health break from work, or perhaps, you know, the work I'm doing is affecting my mental health? How do I know I've gotten to that stage?
Well, there are a few ways that we can look at this. One is that if you currently have like a psychologist or counselor that you're seeing, then definitely that's something that you can check in with your mental health practitioner. But on your own, I would say, if let's say it comes to a point where you can see your life is getting affected by your mental health issues, such as just an example, such as if you're finding that usually you could focus at your work quite easily, but now you're finding it very difficult to focus despite you trying very hard. You found that you are losing sleep, your appetite change, or that your relationship with people are affected because of your mental health issues, or the way that you feel, such as you might be losing temper or getting more irritated and angry easily, or you're feeling very sad and depressed most of the days and you just can't seem to have the kind of energy that you used to have to attempt anything. Now, I think when different areas of your life, or just even one area of your life, is getting affected in that way, that could be a good sign that you need to think about and say, hey, maybe I need to take a little step back to see whether I might need help in different ways. Maybe I can talk to my immediate supervisor or manager if there's one that you can have this conversation with, or you can have a conversation with a mental health practitioner to get further input. But those little signs, I think just feeling like I'm not feeling like I'm getting hold of things anymore, I think that would be a good indication.
And I know this is often easier said than done, but, you know, what small steps perhaps that people can do to take care of their mental health right now, especially if, you know, they find that their work is being affected by it, their daily routines are being affected by it, you know, what can people do?
Yes, as you say, Sue, and this is often easier said than done. I think at the root of it, to be able to just recognize and acknowledge that, hey, I'm actually having a little difficulty here, I'm struggling here, and that maybe I need to just take care of myself. I think that is just the most important thing to start with. Like Naomi Osaka, she probably wouldn't come to this decision if she denied herself of the right to even feel better, because some people would just say that, hey, you know, you're in this job, you should just go ahead with it because you know, you should know what you have signed up for. But I think knowing that your mental health is something that sometimes is not fully predictable, because we feel that if I can if I knew it earlier, maybe I wouldn't do this, I wouldn't do that. But a lot of times we encounter mental health issues due to unforeseen things, just like the pandemic, just like mm-hmm. COVID-19. So acknowledge that you do have the right to give yourself some care. I think that's most important. And then when you can acknowledge that, and of course, I think the other thing is how we can, as a community, support each other as well. That in, like Naomi's case, how we can support people to take care of their mental health and not shame them. Because I think there are some stigma that's really quite discouraging, like, mm-hmm. oh, you're being weak, or you're being overly dramatic, you're being just attention seeking. These kind of words really make people feel like they can't even speak up when they are struggling or having difficulties.
Mm.
So rather than actual steps, I think having this mindset shift is actually very important. Mm. Then other things that are more concrete on a daily basis, maybe it's just knowing that you and I, we are human, and there's really limitations to sometimes what we can do. As much as we want to try and take care of everyone, everything, there are times that we just need to take a step back and say, you know, I need to take care of myself, and I need to admit that I need some help right now.
Mm. And there's also sometimes that guilt, isn't it, when we take that time off for ourselves, that, you know, we could be doing all sorts of other things instead.
Absolutely, absolutely. Because we do feel sometimes, that, oh, you know, if I'm doing this, my colleagues or my family members will have to do extra things.
Mm.
I think it's a situation where we need to support each other rather than feeling like we are being supported. I think at different stages of our lives, sometimes we need a bit more support than some other stages of our life. So I think this is something that we can try to do for each other.
Mm. And, you know, before we end, Yvonne, would you have a final message about what we've been speaking today about mental health and work, and perhaps, you know, what we can learn from Naomi Osaka's move to put her mental health first before her professional priorities?
I think it's something that both employees and employers and us as a community have to come together and address as a whole. Because if, let's say, Naomi alone, when she spoke up, and if there's no discussion about it, I'm not talking even just about acceptance. I think the fact that we are discussing about it is a good thing, because people might disagree with it, and some people might agree with it, and that's a good start, just mm-hmm. to have a conversation about it so that we know why people agree with it or disagree with it. And that's the kind of conversation that we need. It's not to say to also penalize or judge people who doesn't accept that, but to also listen from their point of view. What's their concern? What is the thing that they might not see yet? Or maybe there's something that they are worried about, which is why they disagree with this. So I think to reach to that stage to say, to destigmatize mental health, I think listening to both sides of the conversations is important.
Mm. All right. Thank you so much, Yvonne.
Thank you too, Sue Ann.
I've been speaking to clinical psychologist Yvonne Fu about the importance of prioritizing our mental health, including in professional or work settings. And this was inspired by 23-year-old tennis player Naomi Osaka's move to withdraw from the French Open tournament to put her mental health first after revealing that she had been suffering from mental health issues and that she found it anxiety-inducing to speak to the media. And it's a move that's been widely supported by fellow athletes and fans, and it got us thinking, and it got many people thinking about how work often affects our mental health. So if you missed any part of today's episode, or you want to check out other Live and Learn episodes, you can look up the podcasts on bfm.my or on the BFM app. You've been listening to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.